Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Intuitive Transformation Radio, psychic and wellness talk radio and so much more, hosted by Matthew Engel, the intuitive counselor and psychic. This program was created in love to offer insights and perspectives as you transform your way through your life's journey. We're not here to give advice. Only you are responsible for your choices. For additional information about this program, please visit intuitivetransformationradio.com. If you're listening live and would like to call in with a question, the number is 646-378-1415. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show. Welcome to Intuitive Transformation Radio. Today is Wednesday, May 18th, 2016. It's always a pleasure to be back on the air. I will be chatting with Jason D. McKean, also known as the Ohm Dog Wizard, who is a musician and an intuitive tarot teacher, a modern-day wizard and spiritual counselor. And I'll be chatting with him momentarily. Joy is not on the line today. I will be popping into the chat room intermittently. So if you want to connect with me there briefly, you're welcome to do that. I'll be opening the chat room in just a minute or two, so please bear with me. This is Matthew Engel, and I am the intuitive counselor, coach, psychic, hypnotherapist, executive coach, and your host of ITR. Every other Wednesday, we come together for inspiring messages and talks about personal and spiritual growth topics, holistic health, wellness, and so much more. I welcome you to check out my psychic development and channeling classes coming in San Francisco once again on June 19th and July 17th. The class on June 19th is an introduction to channeling and psychic development for daily living. That class will provide an overview to helping you connect with your unique way or style of receiving information psychically, information that can guide you in making decisions that are clearer, more authentic, more centered, and wiser in all aspects of your daily life. It will address themes of psychic protection, boundaries, psychic clearing, as well as all the different forms of the different clairs, clairvoyance, clairaudience, clairsentience, claircognizance, and somatic or kinesthetic ways of receiving. The class is taught through an experiential method, and as well as class discussion. Excuse me, I'm gargling over my words in this Mercury retrograde cycle today. Anyway, the intro class has open enrollment now. That's on Sunday, June 19th of this year in San Francisco. A level 2 class will follow on July 7th. And that course addresses chakras, the energy body, psychic boundaries, meeting a spirit guide, more tools for reading and gaining clarity for yourself, as well as the beginning of looking at Akashic records and so much more. I welcome you to enroll in both classes, whether you're a first-time student or a returning student. Enrollment is limited due to space availability. All of that is up on my website at matthewengel.com. You can always get information about classes, workshops, as well as articles that I write monthly about psychic and spiritual and personal growth topics by signing up for my newsletter, also on my website at matthewengel.com. I welcome you to follow me on Facebook, Intuitive Matthew Engel. Connect with me on Twitter, Psychic Channel. Jason D. McKean has been heard as the voice of Om Chant on albums and in meditations that have sold over 1 million copies worldwide. His albums include Om Sanctuary, 108 Sacred Oms, Om Eternity, and Om Serenity. Born into a family of psychics and ministers, Jason is a professional tarot card reader and offers intuitive counseling using the Wizard Tarot Deck. He is an ordained non-denominational minister and teaches the tarot to students. His weekly radio show, Wizard Talk, also on Blog Talk, discusses the tarot and highlights a different guest's intent on manifesting their goals in the world. For more info, please visit www.jasondmckean.com. I would also like to give you a brief intro snippet of Jason's music. He does these om chanting CDs and MP3s, and I'm going to actually play a 1 minute and 45 second snippet from Om Sanctuary. It's really just incredible, so check that out now. Again, that's a snippet from Om Sanctuary by Jason D. McKean. If you weren't already listening to that on a device that has clear Wi-Fi connection and good speakers, I really recommend that you rewind the tape and listen to that again. His voice is just mesmerizing. It not only goes through my spirit, but every cell in my body, and just brings me into such a divine space. Jason D. McKean.
Welcome, Jason. It's a pleasure to have you here on the air on Intuitive Transformation Radio.
Thank you, Matthew. I'm excited to be here.
Great, great. So you've got a really interesting combination of skills. You are an intuitive tarot reader. You're an intuitive counselor. You've also got this incredible line of healing recordings, the Om Sanctuary. Tell us a little bit about how you got started with this work. You were also born into a family of psychics and mystics and ministers. So you've got a whole lineage behind you and following you, actually.
Well, you know, it's some of it is by accident. Some of it is by birth. Some of it is just energy that, you know, we're not totally conscious of when we start off on our journey. You know, like musically, I was a big fan of the Beatles and the Doors and all these late 60s bands, and ended up in a punk rock band up in Anchorage, Alaska in the 80s. Uh-huh. And, you know, that was just kind of the musical introduction, so I could learn how to play instruments and all that. And
it helped you break on through to the other side?
Yeah, completely.
From an age-old Doors fan.
No, I love the Doors reference there. And you know, I mean, I think what's important about playing music at an early age for a young person and all is that one becomes connected to their own creative source.
Yeah.
One becomes connected to their in how they can learn to express themselves, and you know, how many teenagers do we know that are just kind of all bottled up inside and
sure.
and don't have the wherewithal to, you know, just fully express themselves. And in music, by playing music, it's a golden opportunity to learn how to tap into one's creative source and you know, move it through us to the outside world, to an audience, people that can get a glimpse of who we are.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, you know, that was very, it kind of sets the stage, you know, within myself to be able to, you know, down the line, move into other areas of music, of expression. I've done albums that incorporate classical music, of course, rock and roll, but soundtrack types of scores, ambient music scores, because I just was willing to give myself the permission to just dive in and create those styles of music too. With the Ohms specifically, the Ohm Chant albums, that is one of those real happy accident types of beginnings. I just happened to have a voice that conveyed the Ohm in a very deep, peaceful manner.
And you have the voice of a Tibetan monk, brother. Your voice is mesmerizing. It is incredible. So soothing. So, I mean, it just raises the vibrational frequency. It's really, really centering.
Yeah, and, you know, how does one go to school to learn that? I guess, you know, you can. but this is something that I just naturally...
It's in your spirit.
Yeah. It's kind of... what I would call kind of like wizard-like energy or whatever, where you just allow yourself to go into that role and pull it out of you.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I feel that that is one of those I guess a meeting of fate and one's own personal you know, just spiritual growth paths there that just it just met on the in the right place at the right time. And
Jason, did you find the production of the Om Sanctuary series, was that spiritually, emotionally transformative for you to express yourself that way?
Yeah, absolutely. With Om Sanctuary. Om Sanctuary is a CD by itself.
Okay.
Is the title of it. It's one of the more popular ones in the line of CDs that I have in my collection there of ones that I've produced and voiced and created the music for. And Om Sanctuary, at the time I created it, I was doing yoga. And I recognized a need for the chant to be maybe accompanied by some music that had some real flowing aspects to it, but that took you through various movements. So it wasn't just a static ohm or a drone that, you know, they have their place too. But this one... I'm trying to hearken back to the state of mind that I was in. I was actually going through a time where I was having like a health crisis,
mm-hmm.
and I needed to go to a place where I could de-stress myself, like on a serious level, or else I was probably not going to be around for much longer. And so I was able to, you know, tap into my need to de-stress and also create something that, you know, I felt was a combination of beauty and also a healing environment for people just to, you know, soak in. And,
okay.
You know, it's you bring what you bring to it. when you create it.
Sure.
And put it out there in the world. And I've heard back from people who have had amazing experiences with Om Sanctuary, with albums that are, you know, there's no way that you can know what experiences people are going to take away from it. But, you know, I've had people like connect with deceased relatives, mm-hmm. and all, like they'll go into a meditative space and they'll have a conversation with like a dead son or something. And it's just like,
so
wow.
This is so much more than yoga. I mean, this is about raising the vibration and even supporting your own spiritual connectedness and your own channeling process.
Yeah.
Okay. Because you're also an intuitive, you are a Tarot reader, and I know you use the Wizard Tarot, so there's a real strong archetype, of course, that resonates through your being that you carry of the Wizard.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, quick side story, it's interesting. When I first started doing spirit guide channeling when I was about 18, the very first spirit guide that I was working with presented himself and really looked like the Wizard. And I had a little, I don't know whatever happened to it, but for years and years I had a little statue or figurine in the form of a wizard with, you know, the classic long beard, and was wearing kind of a purple velvet robe and with some kind of an amulet around his neck.
Nice.
And I worked with that guide for quite a number of years, and I actually haven't really worked with him in quite some time. And literally just within the past 1 to 2 weeks, I was kind of thinking about him again. And lo and behold, we connected sort of through happenstance very quickly. You know, was it even a week ago? A week and a half ago?
Yeah, it was like a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, and here you are, you know, just embodying that incredible, wise archetype. So I don't know, maybe a message from me, from the universe, or from that guide to me to reconnect with that particular guide, or just dialogue in person. Either way, it's still really cool.
It's like that little figurine came to life.
Yeah, exactly. So tell us a little bit about your identification with that archetype, and then of course I want to, you know, talk about your tarot work, your intuitive work. And I know we've also got a couple questions. One question each, actually, that some of my listeners have messaged in about over the weekend, knowing that I was going to be pre-recording this particular interview for the show.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Yeah, I feel that, you know, that like the intuitive work, it came later in life.
Okay.
Most of my focus has been in the artistic realm and the music, mm-hmm. realm. And yet, I feel that the source of both is very similar.
Right.
You know, like it's the same place that we're
right.
pulling from when you create music and you just go through the process and then you sit back and say, where did that come from? You know, and it's very much like a reading where it's like, you know, where did this information come from?
It's all channeling. Absolutely. There's such
an
overlap between creativity and spirituality.
You never like read the same two people the same way, or two different people the same way. It's like it's all about connecting with what it is that needs to be expressed through, you know, the time that you're doing it, and also, you know, the energy of the person. And I felt that, you know, with the Wizard, I mean, I've always been a beard guy, even when I was a little kid. I would glue beards on, and so I mean, it's no surprise that I just have a certain look of kind of a classic or classical wizard there. In fact, me and my brother, we had just for fun gone to Warner Brothers, the studio tour, and they do have Harry Potter stuff there, and I was taking pictures with some of the other tourists there.
And they thought you were one of the characters.
Yeah, just part of the
part
the Gandalf on parade. There. It was
uh-huh.
a lot of
fun. Your beard, I take it, is real though. Yes.
It is. This one is not a glue on.
How long
beard.
Did it take
like,
to grow it that long?
I was just asked that yesterday from some barista at Starbucks. You know, it's like, how long does it take to grow a beard like that? You know, it was already kind of like halfway there throughout most of my adult life, and then I just like stopped cutting it, and so it's like another 2 years or so. Yeah,
all right.
It's an investment in time and patience and love, and you know, if you're not a beard person at all, don't do it.
Well, the good thing about it is that one can always chop it off if one gets sick of it. So it's all good.
I guess that's the hilarious thing is that you know, it can be gone just like instantly.
Yeah.
Instantly, you know.
Tell me about how the tarot started to speak to you.
Well, that's the trick right there. Tapping in, you know, once one has that desire to fully, like, you know, dive in. I was at a point where a career change was like inevitable for me,
mm-hmm.
and what I felt was a calling. What I felt, Matthew, was a calling to be of service, to connect with people. You know, I feel that my own CDs are kind of like an electronic version of myself
mm-hmm.
out in the world. And they do their job. But it's, you know, once I'm done creating it, then it's like that's you know, I'm on to the next thing, right?
Sure.
And so I had a calling to personally connect with others and to
mm-hmm.
be of service, and it wasn't so much about like just creating more just stuff for the world, you know, just more art and stuff like that. It was just about the one-on-one with people and
mm-hmm.
and helping well, being of service, you know, whether that's helping them move forward in their life or just be able to connect with their life in a way that, you know, they're at their most meaningful and most effective.
Okay.
And for me, the tarot, it really spoke to me. The cards, they're so like on point. And so my job then was to just dive in and be able to access the layers of what the cards were saying, so that, you know, my message to others would be clear, and that would be of service to them.
To what extent do you how do you find the balance between the study of the cards through books versus just listening to them speak to you and tell their story? And, you know, how do you bring that into interpretations? You know, a lot of people question, you know, like they read the books and look at certain classic interpretations of the cards, or divination meaning, or prediction meaning, or message meaning. And other, I know other tarot readers who say, oh, I don't know, I just, you know, use the card as a guide and it speaks to me, and the same card can have a totally different meaning in a different reading. How do you balance the two between classic interpretations and your own intuitive process when you're using them?
Yeah, like my own process was one of study first, where I learned the basic interpretations. You know, you go to 10 different websites, you know, 20 different you know, different types of websites, not where it's all
uh-huh.
just a Rider-Waite, you know, type of interpretation, but
you
get into the Crowley, the Thoth deck, you know, you see all of those interpretations, and you look for common patterns, you know, but you also look at the layers. On the Major Arcana and the Wizard's Tarot, there's also Hebrew.
Mm-hmm.
there's a Hebrew alphabet letter on each one, and that adds a layer to it. There's,
okay.
there's astrological symbols that add a layer, so that, you know, when you're actually doing the reading, this is the fun part, and also like the can be terrifying too, is when you're sitting there with someone, and this new layer is revealing itself, you know, mm-hmm. as you're reading, and incorporating that, and I say it's terrifying is because, you know, that's when you feel like you're out there on the tightrope, you know. It's pretty fascinating, you know. I think for me personally, it's been this you know, where my energy has had to focus in on the present a lot more, rather than hanging out in the past or thinking about the future. It's like it puts you in this space of being intensely in the present, and it can be pretty tiring too when you know you're in that concentrated effort.
Mm-hmm. So how much of a message in a reading would you say comes from your study of different interpretations or traditions that come into the cards, and how much of it comes just through your own intuitive process?
I think it varies. I think mm-hmm. it varies for each reading, and
mm-hmm.
I think what makes the other variable is the other person's energy
mm-hmm.
in it. You know, if someone is there and they just want to hear you know talk for the next half hour or whatever, then it can feel like it's kind of more the classical interpretations, but when someone is involved in the reading, you know, when you feel that they are intent on making changes, you know, so that again that they can kind of empower themselves to like get to the place that they feel that they should be, right?
Mm-hmm.
When they're moving towards their goal, you know, it feels like that energetic interchange there is kind of like heightens the reading and opens up doors that you know, if they were kind of just sitting back and kind of holding their energy in, where it's just going to be a little less as far as kind of opening up those new layers, you know.
That makes sense to me because, you know, when I do readings, certainly, I mean, a lot, you know, each person is different, but
mm-hmm.
in terms of the depth or the intensity of the reading, that certainly varies based on the person. There are folks I read who their energy is really, really open and really engaging and really alert, and you know, it's a different vibration. It's a different kind of an exchange. There's probably more spontaneity on my part in that channeling process, whereas there are other folks who are maybe more shut down or constricted, and the flow of the reading tends to be perhaps a little bit more flat. And it's interesting, though, because sometimes readings that I thought felt kind of flat, I ended up getting amazing feedback from the client, you know, because I guess I was just kind of operating at whatever vibration, whatever note they were operating on. So it is, you know, each person is just so different. You know, if I'm understanding correctly, it sounds like it's really a combination of both, like having a rich body of study to which you can refer when interpreting the cards, but also your own intuitive process, your own spiritual journey, your own centering. Did you work at all? I mean, it sounds like there was a lot of, I tend to use the word channeling because I think we're all just kind of vehicles.
Sure.
You know,
yeah,
it's all coming from
conduits,
source, from the same space. Yeah, exactly.
ideas and just stuff
expression
out there. Yeah.
Creatively, artistically, musically, spiritually, and so in all areas of our lives. But did you at some point consciously, you know, so you had that background in music, did you at some point consciously seek to develop your own psychic skills? How did that kind of come into the mix as you were shifting gears professionally?
You know, that's a tricky question because of just, you know, what one perceives as psychic skills through through things like movies and all that, you know, it's like.
Well,
know,
I think, our listeners, I think, are pretty savvy. Yeah, I mean, you know, I think my listeners definitely know that we're not, you know, just pulling somebody on who's gazing into their crystal ball and, you know, predicting knights on white horses.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, the process for me is a kind of a subtle one. I mean, if I were to describe my process, it is kind of a kinesthetic process where it's one of an inner knowing as opposed to, you know, me shutting my eyes and seeing a visual representation of the person's life or, you know, but sometimes I'll hear things, a word that, you know, will pop in and is repeats itself in the middle of a reading. You know, what I was going to say about your last thought there, you know, about the classical and the things that we find out as we're reading, you know, the new layers and all. I think it's just important to be open as a reader. It's like our job is to be open, you know, non-judgmental, whatever, and whatever comes. I mean, that is something that, I mean, it's up to us to deliver it, and to you know, just make it clear, make it so that someone can understand, you know, what it is that we're receiving. That's you know, our job. But I think that the you know, the classical is a great way of just getting the foundation, and then and then listening to your own authentic voice, because I think that, you know, I'll tell my colleagues and all these levels of stuff that I see in the cards, and they may agree, they may not agree, but what's important is that when you're sitting across the table from your querent, your client, that you're speaking in your authentic voice.
Sure. Sure. Can we shift gears? And I actually, as I indicated earlier, I've got two people who messaged me over the weekend, knowing that we were pre-recording this interview, and they would love to get a short reading for you from you. They each messaged me with you know, so an issue-specific question, and that way it'll also give the listeners a bit of a sample for how you work. Would that be okay?
Absolutely.
Okay, great. And also, if you're just tuning in, once again, I'm chatting with Jason D. McKean, who is the creator of the and the voice of Om Chants on albums and in meditations. They have sold over 1 million copies worldwide. You can access those links to those on his website, which is Jason D. McKean. That's MCKEAN.com. You can also find out about his intuitive tarot readings and get the links to his iTunes page where you can sample and purchase any of his numerous soundtracks, which are really just incredibly beautiful. Okay, so the first question that came in is from Nikki. She is a female in her 40s. Fairly recently out of a partnership, very much wants to have a child, and she's wondering if you can provide some feedback about the prospect of motherhood. including whether that's something, you know, any messages about that, including, you know, whether that fits into future partnership or not, and just to kind of see what you pick up on that.
What's interesting is the first cards that come up, and there's two sevens that come up, the seven of wands, the seven of swords there, and these are cards of setting priorities, of setting the stage, of coming into a place within yourself where you're ready, where you're aligned with this goal. And so it's more about just speaking it, or saying that you want to do this. It is actually where one at their core starts to just kind of rearrange again with the seven of wands. It's a card of setting priorities, but it's about being able to take one's, I guess, build a foundation there, you know, instead of having, because it feels like Nikki has like a lot of things going on there, you know, a lot of, like having a child is just kind of one of the things that they want, that she wants to do in life there, and instead of trying to do too much all at the same time, it's about, if that's what she wants, is making that her priority, and then building from there as far as making that the baseline of the pyramid, so to speak, and then, you know, doing the other things that she wants to do based on that. But she needs to make that her number one priority. It feels too, you know, with the sevens, it's, I call that like a judo card, the sevens, because it's like, you know, we're at a place where we're doing okay in life, and then we get knocked off of course there. You know, we break up, we have an event take place that throws us off of our game, and so we need to recalibrate so that we're back on track. And the Seven of Swords is a card of bringing back our own power for ourselves in our own identity of ourself, taking it back from other people's perception of us, where they put us in a box, and we're like left in a place of do we keep acting in accordance to please others based on their perception of us, or do we step out of that? Do we empower ourselves to take on, you know, this new identity of being a mom and all? And so there's that process that has to take place, or is in the process of taking place, of where one fights to take on this new identity. The third card that comes up is the Knight of Swords, which is finding the perfect partner. You know, the one who, it feels like it's someone who kind of just shows up, you know, where they are kind of the knight in shining armor. That is that card. And is that, you know, something that she is looking for, that person to do that. I'm just looking ahead a little bit there, and the road ahead is not particularly easy there, and I don't mean to dissuade her from going forward there, but to know that you know, the path ahead, it offers a lot of opportunity for growth and for her to, you know, move in a way that is beneficial to her. And how it kind of sums up there is the card that shows up kind of the most powerful or the most instructive is in the Wizard's Tarot, it's the Dark Lord card, but it's like the Devil card. And that is a card of control. And it's a card of, you know, that represents the maxim, you know, that which we seek to control, it ends up controlling us.
Hmm.
And by diving in too hard, you know, wanting to control all of the details about it, it's like that could end up being like a source of unraveling, right? And really knocking someone off course there. So, how I like to flip that card is to see it as, you know, from another perspective, which is to let go and let God, and to you know, move forward, but to not hold on to one's expectations like tightly.
Okay.
And so that is how I see this progressing there. But there's a lot of growth opportunity. I mean, there's the Judgment card, which is a card of being able to reinvent oneself. And this is what I'm feeling, Matthew, is that it's, you know, creating the like the family unit there. That looks like kind of the area of difficulty coming up. You know, I see where, you know, she will be in a place of alignment for herself in you know, bringing forth a child, but it's the family structure of it that's going to be kind of the harder part, you know. You know, bringing the baby into the world is not the difficult part for upcoming. It's the family structure and the framework that the child will be in. That's the part where it gets kind of
problematic.
Gets
tricky.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I hope that is
okay.
Helpful.
Okay. Okay, terrific. I'm sure that she will be appreciative of the read. Once again, if you are tuning in, this is Matthew Engel on Intuitive Transformation Radio, and I am chatting with Jason D. McKean, also known as the Om Dog Wizard. He is the voice of the Om chants on albums and meditations, including Om Sanctuary, 108 Sacred Oms, Om Eternity, and Om Serenity. He was born into a family of psychics, ministers, and mystics, and he is a professional tarot card reader who offers intuitive counseling using the Wizard Tarot deck. You can find out about his music at omdogom.com or jasondmckean.com. Jason, before we finish up, I have one other question that came in from Aletha. And Aletha is also a female in her 40s who recently went back to school to finish her college degree, which I think she just very recently finished. And she's really thinking about and feeling called to pursue a master's degree, but she is really, it's like she's kind of, as she puts it, all over the spectrum in terms of a number of different areas of interest, all of which pertain in one way or another to human development, philosophy, education, spirituality. But she's also interested in wildlife management, psychology, Buddhist studies, writing. She has a lot of different interests and spiritual gifts as well, including shamanism and spirit communication. So as she said, hence my spectrum of beauty and dilemma. so eloquently stated.
Yeah.
So if you could provide any feedback for her, I'm reading back the beginning of the message. I'm fortunate to be good at many things, both right and left brained, but as I turn toward focusing on a more fulfilling career path, my interests are all over the map. I feel actually bogged down by my interests and I get overwhelmed. Considering graduate school, but I don't feel sure about picking one subject for fear of missing out on the other one. How do I hone down the options to find my next best direction for the second half of my life?
I get very strong cards.
Okay.
For Alyssa, right?
Aletha.
Aletha?
Yeah.
With a TH?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, as far as the very first card that came up is the Hierophant. In the Wizard's Tarot, the Hierophant is represented by Chiron,
okay.
which is the wounded healer.
Yeah.
And it, very, very spiritual card, you know, very much interested in the spiritual needs of others. You know, with that card too, it's very much about institutions of learning of society. You know, the judicial systems, anything that is of service to the larger group. The second card, the Emperor, a card of very very left brain. Types of structure, whether it's architecture or just making sure that people have a framework to inhabit. That, you know, it's about building something that is I guess just simply put, you know, it's that framework that one provides so that, you know, someone can then move into it and bring what it is that they bring to it. I like to see it as, you know, one building a house, but someone moving into it and making it a home, right? So it's all about those functional structures, very left brain. And then the third card, the Nine of Wands, which is a card of hanging in there, of being resolute, knowing that, you know, it's like, you know, one knows the battles that they have fought. One knows that they're almost, you know, to a point of completion there for what it is that they've been working on for so long that, you know, it would be silly to give up or, you know, do anything like that. So it's one of being determined to move towards one's success there. As far as it feels like it's a very important area to be in where it is about being of service to society at large, right? So anything that is kind of feeding the what's the word? It's like you know, because it has to do with, you know, more of the technical, you know, than I feel like the heart energy. It's again this idea of groups of you know, not not being part of, where it's a single, like an artistic pursuit. Does that make sense, Matthew? As far as it's more about providing, again, like structure, providing a place for people to express their own passions and all. So,
okay.
It feels like it's, again, you know, it's like what I'm hearing is like architecture, you know, like which is, again, this idea of building structure, of it being a place, you know. I'm almost feeling that it has to do with like a school, like she is going to end up either starting a school or being part of a school where mm-hmm. she is like furthering others,
mm-hmm.
you know. It feels like it's a little bit down the road there in a few years, and I don't know if
like in a furthering others, like in a personal development kind of a role.
Yeah, like uh-huh. it's again, you know, not so much about a personal, you know, like a creative aspect where, you know, it's like she goes off like painting pictures and then is like, you know, off on her own, like as a personality in society. It's more about her being a role model, a person who is I guess like a teacher, but it also mm-hmm. doesn't feel exactly like that as well. Like it's and maybe that's you know what I'm kind of having difficulty with.
So not like a traditional classroom teacher, if I understood that correctly.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, but exactly. In a teaching role.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like it's kind of a part of a new model there. That,
okay.
And it could be electronic, you know, like online aspect.
Okay.
But
okay.
It feels like, again, it's like, someone who passes along all of this information in a very instructive way to others, but also this aspect of the Hierophant, this wounded healer aspect. It feels like it is that's an important part of it.
That's an important part of it.
Yeah,
okay.
like there may be some kind of a medical application to it.
Okay.
As well.
We need to finish up shortly. I think probably the follow-up question pertaining to it, just kind of cycling back to her question about graduate school, is there a message that comes through around that?
Yeah, I see. I mean, what comes up for that? I mean, the King of Wands comes up, which is a card of really turning on the energy. It's like I see it as a card of inspiration. It's like, you know, what inspires her the most? What takes precedence there? I feel that. With that card, it is about expressing your highest passion there, you know, to the world, and yet we can what's kind of missing, what sounds like it's missing, is just the right direction, you know, as far as like, you know, what do I choose, because I'm so good at all of these things.
Yeah.
Right? And it's up to her to simplify her approach to that and not make it so complicated, because one can love a lot of things in life, but it is about creating a bridge to, you know, how we get to those things that, you know, I mean, what's the easiest thing to kind of accomplish first, and then kind of, you know, build on that. It feels like the approach needs to be simplified so she doesn't like overwhelm herself on it.
So in some ways, there's actually almost a little bit of an overlap between one of the message that came through for Nikki, just around, you know, really making a decision about what's most important first.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting because both of those women I have worked with before, I know, and they're both very creative, very spiritual. They've both done a lot of work on themselves and continue to. And they both have a lot of interests. So it's interesting, you know, that certainly there are very differing messages that are coming through, and the cards are also different. But a theme, and I think this, you know, for me, this question comes up a lot in readings from people who, you know, have a lot of interests, and they often say, well, what do I do first? How do I make sure that I'm not making the wrong decision or overlooking or bypassing something else that's important too? And, you know, I love the message that you said just about simplifying the approach and acknowledging that one can love a lot of things and sometimes creating the bridge at looking at what is the easiest to accomplish first and kind of starting from there. I think that, to me, that is a very grounding message about, you know, let's start with where I'm at now and figure out, you know, putting one foot in front of the other and just allowing the subsequent steps to surface organically.
Yeah, because one can love a lot of things in life, and
uh-huh.
one can have a lot of inspiration, a lot of fuel going on there. But I feel that to keep the flow of energy going, it's important to get the stuff that's within us. You know,
mm-hmm.
we need to express it. We need to get it out so it doesn't just create a forest fire within us and just burn us up.
And yeah.
So we choose aspects of it, and then
yeah.
You know, we can break it down to where it's kind of a smaller thing that, you know, it just gets out there in the world. We express it, and then we build on that, and we keep the flow of energy going, because I feel that the outer world, it validates our inner world.
Sure.
You know, it's just through, it's like the universe saying, okay, you know, that's good, you know, keep doing that. Or it can say, well, that doesn't quite work.
Right.
Change it up.
Right.
So
right.
That it is like effective.
Yeah. So Jason, we are actually out of time. It's really been a pleasure chatting with you. There's a lot of wisdom and a lot of creativity that you exude, and it's just such a grounding presence that you have. Once again, this is Matthew Engel on Intuitive Transformation Radio, and I was chatting with Jason D. McKean. You can find out more about him at jasondmckean.com. I also want to offer a quick reminder about my upcoming psychic development and channeling classes for daily living and life skills coming in San Francisco. I have an introductory class on June 19th and a level 2 class on July 17th. We will be back in 2 weeks, and I am putting together my next show about a wonderful, inspiring grassroots project that is called Greening Greenfield, and it's a way in which community members within a town have come together to really develop some amazing eco-friendly and sustainability projects within their own town on a grassroots level. They've involved kids, community members, volunteers. They've raised money. They've gotten things up on the web, and it's really a wonderful story about how you can mobilize resources within your community
to create a more sustainable environment. I will close today with another short snippet from Jason D. McKean. It's called The Indigenous, and I hope that you enjoy that. We will be back in 2 weeks, and as always, trust your intuition.